You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
A warm welcome along to the UFC Buzz Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio, and as usual, we have the BT Sport and Telegraph pundit Gareth A. Davis on the line right now to preview what is a big, big night of UFC action from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. UFC 211 on the horizon. We're going to preview four fights on the card. Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis unfortunately has a bit in the dust. That has been cancelled, but we have four cracking fights to get stuck into on this podcast. And first of all, a warm welcome, a good afternoon to Gareth A. Davis. Good afternoon to you, Gareth.
Mr. Kellner, it's great to be with you as always. I've missed you the last couple of weeks. And finally, we've got another big UFC card this weekend. I can't wait to see this.
You've been busy flying across the world on your travels for the last few weeks. You've been to see Tyson Fury. Obviously, you had that big build-up to the Anthony Joshua Vladimir Klitschko fight. It's been a hectic few weeks for you, Gareth.
Well, it's Fight City at the moment. It's Fight Central. I mean, the world's gone mad with combat sports, and it's brilliant. I mean, the UFC's flying again, as I say, with this weekend, and things are starting to roll together for them. You know, heavyweight boxing's really in the frame. Amazing weekend with Tyson Fury, who's obviously trying to get in the frame again to fight people like Anthony Joshua. And a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these big heavyweights often talk to me about MMA, Dave, because they, you know, there's something about the fights that really excites the heavyweight boxers, because, as you know, MMA and the UFC, Bellator, all these organizations really do deliver when it comes to big fight nights, and they do some incredible matchups.
I'm expecting this to be an absolute cracker in Dallas this weekend, and we start with Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez. And Edgar is 4-6 to win this bout. Rodriguez is 6-5. And Frankie Edgar lost the lightweight title a little over 5 years ago now, dropped to featherweight, and he's beaten everyone apart from Jose Aldo, who's twice denied him becoming a double weight champion in the UFC. And he's going up against a Mexican athlete in Yair Rodriguez, who is incredible, really. You look at him from a pure spectacle point of view, he delivers each and every time he's in the octagon.
Yeah, El Pantera, the Panther, is an incredible kid. He looks like a choir boy in Mufti, by the way. He really does. I bumped into him. I might have told you this before on the pod, on the UFC Buzz podcast, that I've bumped into Yair before, Dave, and he's the sweetest kid you'll ever meet. And yet he does these spinning kicks and balletic fighting, I'd call it at times. He's a real rising star in mixed martial arts with the personality to go with it. But I've got to say, as you rightly pointed out there, Frankie Edgar, whose physique falls between lightweight and featherweight, you know, he's got this, he's a small man, very compact, and he can do both weight classes. Obviously getting on a little bit now and very much a veteran, but he, you know, was a fantastic lightweight champion, covered all his fights live at that level a few years ago. And what's fascinating about this fight is obviously that Yair Rodriguez put away a legend in BJ Penn. I think it was last time out, but I think this is a different kind of fight. You know, Yair has looked brilliant. He's been beaten once, of course, but way back in the Mexican fighter promotions 5 years ago now, but he's looked incredible through the Ultimate Fighter and then into his full UFC career. This is the seventh fight in that career now. He's unbeaten in those, sixth fight. No, it is six. If you count the Ultimate Fighter finale at UFC 180, you'd say it was his seventh proper UFC fight. But, you know, for me, he's up against a very, very seasoned, very practiced fighter, and he's going to have to use his range and his speed and his explosiveness and that kind of that devastating fighting IQ and spinning IQ that he has as a fighter. Frankie Edgar, you know, I've written him off before at my peril, and you know, I'm going to pick Frankie, you know, to win this fight because I just think that Yair could get a wake-up call in this fight. Frankie has an incredible ability to bounce back even when he's under pressure in fights. We know that, as you say, the two losses to Jose Aldo, the last one being last year in his second fight for the interim UFC featherweight championship, when, of course, I think at the time Conor McGregor still held that crown. So it's a fantastic fight. Yair will fight from range. Frankie will try and get his chain wrestling going. He's got a great jab, but whether that jab will reach Yair, I don't know. But I just think Frankie will find a way in this fight to win on points.
I do like this kind of matchup as well, Gareth, where you've got the experience of Frankie Edgar against the up-and-coming youth of Yair Rodriguez. It makes for an intriguing battle.
It does. You know, that's exactly what it is. This is a contest, exactly that. It's a matchup of styles, very different styles. It's youth against experience. It's Yair's first chance to step up against a real elite opponent because, you know, even though BJ Penn is one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time, you'd have to place him arguably in the top 20 of all time, maybe even higher than that. Maybe even the top 10 if you look at what he achieved in his career. But for me, he was a shot fighter, a shot mixed martial artist when Yair met him, just last year. And I just think that Frankie Edgar will... Sorry, it was January this year. It was only this year. I do think Frankie Edgar will pose him different problems. He has movement. He has head movement. He's going to have to use that. But over five rounds, I might have favored Yair. But given this is a three-round fight, I'm going to go with Frankie to win it on a close decision, 2-1, and have his hand raised at the end of it.
6-5, Frankie Edgar by decision here with William Hill. Let's talk about the welterweight clash between Damian Maia and Jorge Masvidal. And it's each of two here. 10-11 Maia to win the fight. Masvidal is 10-11. And Damian Maia might be 39 years old now, Gareth, but he's arguably in the shape of his career right now. 6 straight wins, impressive wins. He's been utterly dominant in the octagon recently.
You know, there was a time when Damian Maia was the puzzle when it came to fighting someone with jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he pulled off some of the most spectacular submission victories we've ever seen. He is very, very talented. He thought he was a southpaw boxer striker at one point. But he's, for me, as you say, he's 39 now. He's got a degree in journalism, by the way. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he has a degree in journalism. Mm. One of the most urbane characters you will ever meet in fight sports. A friend of mine, and I'm a huge fan of his as a man and as a fighter. It's very interesting, this, you know. Jorge Masvidal trains with Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley, of course, is the welterweight champion at the moment. And Woodley's come out in the last couple of weeks and said that Maia's crazy for fighting Masvidal because he's so dangerous with his striking. He's so powerful. And, of course, Maia's in line to challenge Woodley for the world title, the UFC world welterweight title. So he says he's risking not fighting for the title. And who knows whether Masvidal and Woodley would fight. Them being teammates and sparring mates. This is a fantastic and intriguing fight for me. Maia has to weather the strikes and heavy hands of Masvidal, take him to the ground and submit him. And I think he will. I think he'll find a way in this fight. Masvidal is aggressive, fast, explosive. Maia must weather the early storm, get his hands on Masvidal, and pull off the submission. He's got 15 minutes to do it. There's very few people who can spend that amount of time with Damian Maia in an octagon and not at some point be threatened with a submission finish. I think Maia gets the job done. This fight could go either way, but I'm going Maia by submission in this fight because I think he's so calm, so measured, but he cannot afford to get hurt by Masvidal early.
Damian Maia by submission is 2-1 here with William Hill, if you fancy following Gareth in on that bet. Let's talk about the women's strawweight title fight between Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Jessica Andrade. And Jędrzejczyk is 4-7. Andrade is in the betting at 11-8. We've got method of result and round betting available here as well. And of course, with this being a title fight, this is five rounds, this one. Yep. And so far, Jędrzejczyk has proved unstoppable in the division. She's 13-0 in her career. And she's come out publicly and said, Gareth, as well, that she's looking to dominate the division, wipe the floor with everyone that stands in her path. And when she's beaten them all, then she can retire satisfied, Gareth.
Well, look, four defences of the title. She's looked almost peerless. Jessica Penne, Valerie Letourneau, Claudia Gadelha and Karolina Kowalkiewicz in the last fight that was out in New York last November. A fantastic fight in which the stock of both women rose in a coruscating, exhausting. I mean, I remember feeling exhausted, Dave, at the end of watching those five rounds live because they just went for it. Jędrzejczyk doesn't fight any differently every time. She just gets better and better. She is a precision, brutal, vicious, spiteful fighter, and she will bring it against Andrade, the number four in the division at the moment for me. I don't know where she is in the women's fighter rankings. I think they've got her at three. I would rank her probably around three or four in the world. The thing is about Jędrzejczyk, she's got this incredible style. She's relentless. And even though Andrade has had a great three fight winning streak against Jessica Penne, Joanne Calderwood and Angela Hill, I do think that there are levels in this division. And I think there is a level that Jędrzejczyk inhabits that no one else in the division inhabits. She's going to have to be off key, off her game to lose to this woman. I see a stoppage for me in rounds three or four, maybe the championship rounds four or five. Jędrzejczyk is an incredible champion. And anything can happen in MMA. A beats B, B beats C, C beats A in MMA. That's what happens in styles. But I don't think Andrade really, has the style. Yes, she's got a Muay Thai and kickboxing in her background. She is a very, very accomplished fighter. She's a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I just feel that Jandrejczyk's control of the octagon, her generalship, the way she stalks opponents, the combinations she unleashes will just be too much for Andrade.
Are you surprised she's not shorter in the betting yet than Jędrzejczyk? Because 4-7 seems like a good price from everything that you've said about this fight. I suppose Andrade is... she has, for her last three fights, dropped in terms of weight as well. So she has that advantage that she's fought at 135 pounds as well.
Yeah, I agree. There are things in her favour. And, she's a brilliant submission artist. I think 7 of her 18 wins have been by submission, Dave. Of her 16 wins, rather, have been by submission. And she has got knockout power as well. But I just think that her opportunity to win this fight is getting hands on Jędrzejczyk and getting her on the ground and submitting her. That is a viable kind of route to victory for her. But if she cannot do it via that technique, I don't see her being able to match Jędrzejczyk on the feet. And as we know, all fights, every round starts on the feet.
The main event on Saturday night is the heavyweight title clash between Junior Dos Santos and Stipe Miocic. Dos Santos is even money here with William Hill. Miocic is the favourite at 4-5. And I think we've got to reflect on what happened when these two clashed in December 2014, first of all. That was in the UFC on Fox 13 event. And Dos Santos, in the end, gained a unanimous decision, but that was a bloody encounter over five rounds at an incredible speed. It was an amazing fight, one of the best heavyweight fights ever, Gareth.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, Stipe Miocic, it seems, has the tools to potentially break this incredible run where no one can seem to hold on to the heavyweight belt. It's run through different hands over a long period of time. Stipe Miocic got his hands on the belt with that victory over Fabricio Werdum in May last year, and defended it, of course, against Alistair Overeem. For me, he has brilliant wrestling. He's a giant man. He's got very good hands, very good control of distance. But in the heavyweight division, which is why no one's held it beyond two defenses, this is the poison chalice, if you like. A jab can change things in the heavyweight division. The two men have met before, of course, and you know that night, Junior Dos Santos in 2014 in Phoenix, Arizona, won on points over five rounds, got a unanimous decision. I think Stipe Miocic is a much better fighter since then. I think, you know, I've just done a big piece on him earlier in the year for Fighters Only magazine, in which I analysed all and spoke to all his coaches, a big group of coaches, and he's an incredible athlete. Remember, this is a guy that, you know, boxed in the Golden Gloves in America, wrestled at the very highest level, was a tremendous hitter in baseball. I mean, you know, he genuinely is a giant of Croatian ancestry. He's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. In fact, I interviewed him last November over lunch in New York, in Manhattan, and he was telling me how terrified of ghosts he is. And he'd moved into a new home with his wife, and he said he hadn't been able to sleep for the first few weeks there because all these knockings in the house. And he was convinced he had the place looked over. And apparently some ghost had come into the house, and I think he had to have it exorcised. Fascinating story, you know? But I tell you what, he's going to have to exorcise the ghost on Saturday night of the loss to Junior Dos Santos in that first meeting. I think he's got it in him. Dos Santos is a brilliant striker as well, by the way. And for me, has looked very good recently as well. I mean, there is... You know, there's so little to pick between these two guys. I mean, the thing is for Dos Santos, he's beaten Cain Velasquez, then he lost to Cain Velasquez, then he beat Mark Hunt, then he lost to Cain Velasquez, then he beat Miocic, then he lost to Overeem. He beat Ben Rothwell in Croatia in the middle of last year. It's a year since he's fought, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
It is a pick'em in some ways. But they're both typical of this heavyweight division right now. They can beat anyone, and they can both be beaten. The thing is in Miocic's mind, what he's been saying over the last couple of weeks is, I know that from that first fight, I can hang for five rounds with someone with very heavy hands. A guy who was the former champion at the time, regarded as a knockout artist. He knows he belongs. And both of them have said someone's getting KO'd in this fight. It's so hard to pick this one, Dave. But I'm going to go, and it really could go either way, but I'm going for Stipe Miocic by knockout. I think it's going to be an incredibly bloody, brutal, and sudden end to this fight. And I'm going for Stipe Miocic inside the first 2.5-3 rounds. But it could easily go the other way.
Stipe Miocic to win in round one is 4-1. Miocic in round two is 8-1. And in round three is available at 14-1 here with William Hill. Gareth, if you put all those four together, Edgar, Meyer, Jędrzejczyk and Miocic, it pays 8-1 here with William Hill for all those four fighters to win on Saturday night in Dallas. Which looks good, 8-1 for those four fighters to all score in Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You could easily pick those guys there as the favourites in those fights. I mean, it's a very difficult thing with some of these style matchups, Dave. It can come down to one tiny mistake, and it's as simple as that in three of these four fights.
Gareth, thank you for giving your thoughts on UFC 211. Enjoy it on Saturday night.
I will. I always do. I'll be racing back from Nicola Adams in Leeds. I'm up in your neck of the woods.
Josh Warrington fighting as well.
watch the main card as soon as the fights are over.
Thank you for your company, Gareth. If you want to follow Gareth on Twitter, by the way, listeners, it's at Gareth A. Davis DT, and you can follow myself at D. Kellner. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of UFC 211 as well. Go to williamhill.com and click on the UFC page, and you'll see all the betting, various different markets available ahead of UFC 211. And myself and Gareth will be back very, very soon with more on the UFC Buzz podcast. Enjoy the fights on Saturday night, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.